talk to you about counterintuitive disciplines. Counterintuitive disciplines. And if that got over your head, then I'll just say, if you can get down, you can get up. Hallelujah. It is counterintuitive, Father, that we should be called the saints of God. When it looks like that we are but sinners, but you called us saints, it doesn't make sense, but you did it. Abraham believed you, and it was counterintuitive that you would take faith and count it unto him as righteousness, but you did it. As we stand in this grace, this nameless grace, this undefinable grace, we ask you to open our hearts and our minds to hear, to learn, to develop, because we don't want to be a nebulous group of people with no understanding of who we are and what we believe. We want to be informed with the power and the understanding that causes us to serve you in the spirit of humility and yet intelligently. We believe you for a press down, shaking together, running over miracle. And we thank you for all of those who couldn't be here physically but insisted on being online because they value and treasure what you're about to say. Have your way in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, remain standing. We're going to read the word of God. I did it backwards, but it's okay. When you're pastor, you can do stuff like that. The Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 7, verse 24. And we'll read down, I think, to verse 31. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. Good Lord. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, Jesus says, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. Good God Almighty. She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Okay, I already prayed, so you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Counterintuitive means contrary to intuition or to common sense expectations, but still true. In other words, counterintuitive means it doesn't make sense, but it's still right. Okay. There, it's very similar to oxymorons like a cold burn or hot ice. Those types of things that don't make sense and yet it's true. in an elongated form, it's bigger than a word or a phrase, but it becomes a situation. Like, let the poor say I'm rich. That's counterintuitive and often difficult for a poor person to do, but yet the Bible commands, not suggests, that the weak say, I'm strong. Okay, so your confession might be contrary or counterintuitive to your situation. In a few moments, we're going to examine a story where Satan has taken over territory in this woman's house and has made it impossible for her to ignore him any longer. But before we do that, and before we start putting in our bag, our personal bag, all the situations that may be going on in our life, in our job, in our situation, and making this scripture fit it, let us take just a moment and do a disclaimer. And this disclaimer is important for spiritual people, because spiritual people spiritualize everything. I grew up in the old church, BB, where everything was a demon. You coke drinking demon, come out of him. I see that smoking demon. Come out, come out, come out in the name of Jesus. A cigarette demon, come out right now in the name of Jesus. That short dress wearing demon, come out. You see that girl with that bare-legged demon? Come out and put them stockings on everything. They call a demon's name. Nappy-headed demon, you. You know, everything was a demon. Yeah, everything was a demon. Everything was a demon. And likewise today, it is easy to take a family crisis and demonize what deserves to be humanized. The truth of the matter, it may not be the devil that tore up your marriage. I'm not saying it wasn't, but let's just open ourselves to the possibility that maybe the way you treated each other has something to do with the demise of the marriage. Maybe you're giving Satan credit for things you could have changed, but you call it a demon and you plead the blood over it and say the devil is a liar, never admitting that you lied. It's important that we deal with this, because sometimes when we're in trouble, we get amnesia. We remember what they did to us, but we forget what. Now this work is difficult, because this challenges the narrative that you told yourself. Because our narratives to ourselves make us comfortable. They put us in a situation where we are blameless. When you write the story, you're always the hero. I've never seen anybody write a story about themselves and they came out the villain. So you have to watch writing the stories you tell yourself and then believing the stories, especially when it comes to relationships, not just marital relationships between mother, daughter, father, son, sister, brother, coworker, customer, client, whatever it is. Sometimes we tell ourselves a story that negates the stimulus that elicited an unfavorable response. And so while you focus on the response they gave, you absolve yourself from the stimulus. Let me bring it. I know this is counterintuitive, so I got to work on it. Have you ever loaned somebody money and they got mad because you asked for it back? I mean, fell out with you and stopped speaking to you. Now you a demon. How dare you? She thinks she's so much. You didn't think that when you borrowed the money. But we have a way of getting amnesia, and we tell not only ourselves but other people the story that we want them to believe because we need support in the lie. Because we seek validation, sometimes we manipulate situations to make ourselves look heroic, never resolving issues and wondering why we're sick. Sickness comes through dis-ease. And dis-ease exists not because it runs in your family, not because you're getting older, but because you never deal with issues. And so there might be a reason why your daughter resents you. You know, it's a problem now. You can't say anything. The other day I ran into a clip where somebody just posted, honor thy father and thy mother. I thought, oh, that's wonderful. I read the comments, you know. I mean, how could you argue about honor thy father and thy mother? A fight broke out in the comments. It depends on the mother and it depends on the father. I'm never honoring my mother. I haven't spoke to her in 10 years. I'm not honoring her, so I'm not honoring my father because I don't even know who he is. And all this personal pain started coming up in the comments, and you want to adjust the text to fit the trauma. I'm not saying that all mothers are honorable or all fathers are honorable, but that wasn't what the scripture said. It didn't say if they deserve it. Because if you can be recipient of a grace that you don't deserve, then you have to open up to the possibility that you ought to extend a grace that you don't deserve and not hold people hostage to what they did while you seek liberation and you become an abolitionist against your flavor of sin and then incarcerate me because I took a different flavor, but it was all sin. This Baskin Robbins situation that exists in our lives allows us to have grace for what we like. And it is easy for the wife to say he's not a good husband because it bypasses the possibility that maybe I wasn't the best wife. Or the daughter to say you weren't a good mother, but then could it be possible that you weren't a great daughter? And maybe mama didn't handle it correctly, but stimulus response. In order to get better, I'm not absolving the response, you have to own your part in the issue. You have to not only own your part, but come to the grips where you can admit, I was wrong about that. I didn't handle that at my best. I'm sorry about that. I can understand why you feel the way you feel. I'm sorry you feel that way. And let's find a way to get past it. Or maybe when mama raised you, I was in sin, and that's why all those uncles were coming into your house, and now I'm saved, and I'm talking about how could you do, and not understanding that you are reflecting my behavior because I have amnesia. Healing starts when Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and part of it is understanding, owning my own failures and flaws. It seems counterintuitive that admitting it would bring liberty, but it does to own it and say, I wasn't right about that. You can't keep stabbing me once I'm already dead. So I already said I was wrong, so we can't spend the next 20 years with you accusing me about something that I already said I was wrong about. And come on, come on, come on, come on. So I can, ownership doesn't mean that I have to spend the rest of my life walking around in condemnation, because I understand that he whom the Son have set free is free indeed. But I have to have a sensitivity that there's a reason why you don't like to come over to my house. Instead of just telling people, he's just not friendly. He just don't like the rest of us. And you don't know the backstory that created the dilemma in the first place. Oh, I'm getting deep. Yeah, I love it when y'all get quiet. The truth of the matter is retaining relationships are not organic. It doesn't happen because it's supposed to. Kids don't love parents because they're supposed to. And sometimes parents don't love kids just because they're supposed to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The wedding is an indication of a love and a commitment with vows that we all agreed to, but very seldom keep. The vows warn you of everything that could possibly happen, better for worse, richer for poor, sickness and in health, forsaking all others, cleave only, do you? I do. Yeah, with a $49.99 tux on and a clip-on tie, we nod our heads and agree to stuff that we break easily. Which then empowers the other person to create pain because they want vengeance and they want you to feel as much hurt as they did. So sometimes people hurt you because you hurt them. And until one of you drops out of the hurting game and gets into the forgiveness and the mercy game, the house will be chaotic because everybody is so busy blaming that you can't have great communication, because communication in your house looks like, I'm just waiting on you to finish so I can tell you about your mama, because there you are sitting up, see, I wasn't listening at nothing you were saying. I wasn't taking anything in you were saying. I was just waiting on you to take a breath so I could jump in and tell you about your crazy nappy-head sister who ran up on me in the backyard at the picnic like she had lost her mind. Where is the lie? I'm just telling you the truth. And so a lot of times we blame things on the devil, not taking responsibility for the fact that we provoked certain behaviors to occur and created certain situations that we think are demonic. And I don't want you to shove this text, shove your situation into this text if the only devil in your story could have been you. We have to at least address the possibility that you could have been wrong, or handled it wrong, or responded wrong, or reacted immaturely. We have to address that, or I weaponize you to be further dysfunctional by giving you a text you can beat her over the head with all the way home, saying, see, you see, the Lord told you this. Because you do know we weaponize the scriptures on more than demons. We weaponize the scriptures on each other. And instead of being my partner, you become my pastor. Oh, it's going to be interesting. Sit right up, because I ain't got to the good part yet. It's going to be good up in here. You think you watching HBO today? It's gonna be one of them Cinemax sermons. So we have to deal with the psychological part, the sociological part of reality in our situations, that we might have been contributors or benefactors or in some way complicit in the pain in our own lives. It could be possible that they didn't fire you because you was black. It could be possible that they fired you because you was gone for lunch for 2 hours and came in late 3 days out of the week and you type crooked and upside down and can't spell. I'm just bringing up a possibility. I'm not saying anything. Don't write me about this. It could be possible that they don't dislike you because you're a woman. They could dislike you because you're never on time and you're never prepared and you come into the meeting late, and when somebody confronts you, you burst into tears. Just saying. The third thing I want to clear up and bring to your attention is the eschatology of it all. Is to understand that one of the signs of the end time is that mothers would be against daughters and fathers would be against sons. That the closer we get to the end times, the more difficult it is to maintain healthy relationships, because one of the signs of the end time is the deterioration of the family. So what was natural for your grandmother becomes difficult for you. And part of the reason they were married 63 years and you were married 63 minutes might have something to do have something to do with the fact that what used to be natural isn't natural anymore. That people are not always equipped with natural affections. They don't come into here just naturally knowing how to love. They don't come into here naturally knowing how to be nice. They don't come in here naturally knowing that if you see me carrying six boxes up the steps, that you ought to say, "Can I help you?" That's a lost art that's gone. That's not there anymore. And one of the signs of the end time is fighting coming from strange places. Some of you are having to fight at work and fight at home and fight at church and fight all the time, and you are so stressed out, you're overwhelmed, and you don't recognize we're living in the end time, and natural affections have eroded out of our family so that it is no longer normal to love your mother or love your wife or love your husband. And if you post that you do, somebody's going to criticize that you do, because we're living in the last days where people have lost natural. Anytime you can have a baby and toss it into a trash can and get in the car and smoke a joint, you have lost all maternal instincts. Anytime you can have a child by this woman and that woman and that woman and that woman and take care of none of those children, that never feel bad about it and got the nerve to be hurt that they didn't call you on Father's Day. Why in the world should they call you on Father's Day? You haven't been a father. You haven't been a daddy. You haven't been a provider. You haven't been present. You haven't been a person. Come on, we got to own some of this stuff. Check this out, Luke 12, chapter 49 through 53. I want you to understand that some of this is just as sure as this crazy weather is a sign of the end time. This is also a sign of the end time. I came to set fire to the earth. This is Jesus saying, and I wish it were already on fire. Is it not burning? Is the ocean not as hot as a jacuzzi? I'm sorry to say something, I'm stopped there. I'm going to be put to a hard test, and I will have to suffer a lot of pain until it is over. Do you think that I came to bring peace to earth? No, indeed. I came to make people choose sides. Isn't that where we're living right now, where everybody is taking a side? Spirit of division is broken out. You got to take a side. You can't be neutral. You can't be in the middle. They're killing you because of the side you're on. A family of five will be divided. with two of them against the other, the other three. It's going to split families apart. Fathers and sons will turn against one another, and mothers and daughters will do the same. Mother-in-laws, oh Lord, and daughters-in-law will also turn against each other. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm living in the Bible. So we've got two categories: the things we contributed to, the things we cause, the things we will not own, the things we will not earn, and the things that are a result of the times we're living in, that we're living in the last days, that you can no longer watch Mayberry and Aunt Bee and bake an apple pie and set it in the window and have Andy come home and Opie eat the pie and all the stuff. That's over. That Lucy is hitting Desi over the head with an AK-47. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm too old to even make the illustration. But to those of you that got it, you got it. You understand that we're living in the last times, and it's difficult to hold it together. So forgive yourself for having a tough time holding relationships together. Forgive yourself for being weary. Forgive yourself for being exhausted. Forgive yourself for being tired. Forgive yourself for being at your wit's end. Forgive yourself for coming to a point of desperation. Forgive yourself for being not motivated to say anymore, to give anymore, to forgive anymore, to apologize, to plan anymore, to sow anymore, to understand that you're fighting an end time fight. You're fighting an apocalyptic war in your house. You're fighting the attack of the enemy through the times that we're living in. Once you check off, did I cause it? Did I do it? Did I contribute it to it? Am I remembering it correctly? Once you get past that, and I don't trust you to do a self-test. You got to ask some other people how you came across in the situation, because you will exonerate yourself in your own head. Once you get past that, I want you to understand that we're living in the last days, and it's hard to hold anything together. Your business, your marriage, your mother, your daughter, your auntie, your in-law. How many feel a force fighting against you with simple things that used to be easy? It used to be easy just to invite people over for dinner. It used to be easy to have a family picnic. It used to be easy for us to go on vacation. It used to be easy to take a drive. Now you got to take the temperature and see if it's the right day to ask them and see if they're in the right mood. And now you got to discern their eyes. And now you got to try out a little easy question on them and see if it's okay. And now you got to figure out who makes the potato salad. And now you got to put up with a cereal bowl a potato salad because Helen is stingy, and you got 30 people and she bought a cereal. Am I telling the truth? People have lost all common sense. Here you come in here with this cereal bowl talking about, here it is, I can't even find it. And you act like you can't count. And you wonder why we got an attitude, because we got to run to Kroger's in the middle of the barbecue. Now we peeling potatoes. And you want a doggy bag to go home. Am I telling the truth? Come on, somebody shout me down. Somebody just shout me down. First one to grab a bag. I got to have me some of that when I leave. What happened to that when you was making that potato salad? But you don't say nothing. Because that will be a 10-year war over a bowl of potato salad. But you stop inviting them. And now the family's acting funny. I'm talking about real life issues. Jesus says that in the last days, mothers will be against daughters. That's unheard of. Fathers will be against sons. That would be unheard of if we were not alive today. Now it is more likely for families to hate each other than to love each other. We grew up where family love could be depended on. If you jumped on one of us, you had to jump on all of us. If you said something to my sister, there's a part of me that'll leap off this stage right now and go back to the school bus. But what used to be natural is not natural anymore. And the truth of the matter is, this woman is living with a demon. What drove her to Jesus is that she is in fact living with a demonic power that's manifesting in somebody she loves. And what do you do when you're trying to drive out what you don't love and save what you do love? What do you do when you're trying to kill the cancer and save the kidney? What do you do when you're trying to drive out the demon without the child leaving the house? What do you do when you're trying to bind the devil and cause the child to be free? What do you do when what you hate has gotten in what you love? What do you do when you've said everything you know how to say? You've been as kind as you know how to be. You've been as loving as you know how to be. And still the demon is standing up, looking you in the face. Touch somebody and say, this is a job for Jesus. There's some people listening at me right now. You bent over backwards. You bent over forwards. You got down on the floor. You've cried. You prayed. Nothing you do seems to be enough. This is a job for Jesus. If I'm talking to you, make some noise in this house. Oh my God, oh my God, I feel something, I feel something. I feel like something's about to break loose in this place. This is a job for Jesus, this is a job for Jesus. This is such a job for Jesus. It's not just deacons seeking Jesus. It's not just church mothers seeking Jesus. It's not just the intercessory board seeking Jesus. We got drug dealers coming to church saying, this is a job for Jesus. We got potheads coming to church saying, I need a breakthrough and I got to come to Jesus. We got winos coming. We got strippers in here that came to Jesus because I tried everything and everything failed. And if Jesus doesn't give me an answer, I'm going to blow my brains out. Somebody's watching me right now. You're not even a Christian. You're just a desperate person tired of living with a demonic situation. Glory to God, and I feel like you're going to get a breakthrough in here today. Hell is nervous. Demons are trembling. Satan is upset. And yes, I know it's a witch watching, but I'm not scared of you, because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Somebody give him 30 seconds of... Text three people and tell them the devil is watching, the devil is watching, the devil is watching, the devil is watching, the devil is watching. The devil is watching. And then look at him and saying, I don't even care. I don't even care. I don't care. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. I don't care how they act. I came to see Jesus and I won't let you go. Oh, I won't let you go until you bless me. Sit down, I gotta go somewhere. I'm just on point two. I ain't got the three, four, and five. I gotta get where I'm going. I gotta get where I'm going. Now I want you to understand something about this text that is seldom talked about. Everybody talks about the crumb and the loaf and the bread and all of that. I want to talk about some things that we don't normally talk about. I want to talk about the disappearance of Jesus. the disappearance of Jesus. The Bible said that when Jesus came into Tyre, that he entered into a house to keep a secret that he was there. Yeah, Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence a secret. So we're talking about Jesus. Jesus has a clear sense that this is not a city that would be receptive to his ministry. He has a clear sense of not being called to the people of Tyre, Sidon. He has a clear sense of his mission. Do you have a clear sense of your mission? Or are you just called to preach? Or are you just going, what kind of restaurant? What kind, where is it? Fast food, short order, delivery? What do you have a clear sense of mission? Don't start a mission you don't have a clear sense of. He wasn't generic. He understood that he wasn't for everybody. Are you allowing yourself to be hurt over the rejection of somebody you're not even called to? Jesus had a clear sense of his purpose and his mission, and he had a clear sense that he was not generic, and he had a clear sense that he wasn't everybody's cup of tea, and he was cool with it. He was cool with being controversial. He was cool with being an outcast by certain circles. He didn't keep contorting himself into other forms, trying to get everybody to like him until you lost all sense of identity, twisting yourself over and over into all kinds of shapes, trying to fit in the people who have already made up their mind. They don't want you. They don't want you. They don't want you. So you might as well stand up and be who you are. He was specific. Given that he was in Tyre, he chose to reside away from people he wasn't sent to. He chose to reside away from people he wasn't sent to. He wasn't wasting time knocking on doors of people he wasn't sent to. Oh my God, I might not make it to the end. There are some situations you avoid. Like Moses putting a veil over his face. Remember when he came down off the mountain and he'd been with God and his face was lit up with glory, but the glory he had wasn't for the people he saw? I'm gonna say that again. The glory he had wasn't for the people he saw, so he hid, as it were, his face. For Jesus to be hiding in the house is for Moses' face to be covered. Sometimes God will hide his glory. Do you realize Jesus rose from the dead and only showed himself alive to his disciples? He hid from everyone else. Stop trying to make people see what they refuse to see. Stop trying to make people believe what they don't believe. Stop trying to make people want what they don't want. I got up and fixed breakfast the other day for my grandkids, made homemade biscuits, fried apples, and sausage, and my wife scrambled some eggs, and they said, we don't want it. We want McDonald's. When I was younger, I'd have pitched a hissy fit. Now that I'm older, I said, thank you very much. I went on downstairs and went on into my quarters and kept on going, because I'm not going to try to change you for 3 days, something that's been sitting in you for 13 years. I said, I know not to do that no more. I won't be doing that the whole rest of the trip. I never entered into the kitchen again. I hid myself in the gentleman's quarters and let them go to McDonald's. Because my peace is worth it. Y'all don't even hear what my peace is worth it. I'm not gonna be fussing at you trying to get you to eat your broccoli. My peace is worth it. I'm too old to have them kind of argument. Been there, done that, got a t-shirt. McDonald's is on the corner, sucking red light, turn left. I'm not mad or nothing. I'm not even frustrated. You can't open up yourself to everyone. I've heard this text preached over and over and over and over again. I preach it myself over and over again. I don't know that I've ever heard this point expounded on. Sometimes the gospel is hidden. The region as a whole was a region that he wasn't sent to. He wasn't sent to the, I want to give you the history. See, we see what happened, but we don't see why. We see the front of the story, but we don't see the back of the story. We read little blurbs on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, blogs. You don't know the back story. The backstory has everything to do with the story. You came to the family reunion. You saw us acting funny. You don't know what happened when we were 7. You don't know what happened when we were 12. You don't know that we're 5 different families gathering at the picnic that we didn't know we had. Come on, talk to me, people. Where are my real people? There are some things that you are too precious to fight about. And you don't try to make yourself go where you're not sent. Remember the early church in the book of Acts? The Bible said that the Spirit of God constrained us from entering into certain cities. Remember what Jesus told the disciples? He said, if you go into a house and they don't receive you, shake the dust from your feet and leave swiftly. See, some of us are at the age now, I don't have time to be arguing about no eggs and bacon. I'm better than that. Go on and get what you like. I hop, G hop, we hop, they hop. I'm not gonna be arguing with nobody about nothing I can have peace about. The second thing I want you to notice is that Jesus does not come into Tyre expecting to be seen. While almost anyone else would want to be seen, Jesus wants to be hidden. He is hidden in the house. Somebody say he's hidden in the house.
He's in the house.
Say it again, he's hidden in the house.
He's in the house.
Say it again, he's hidden in the house.
He's in the house.
This time say he's hidden in my house.
He's in the house.
He's hidden in my house.
He's in the house.
Somewhere in my situation, Jesus is hidden. Somewhere in the hospital room, Jesus is hidden. Somewhere in the court case, Jesus is hidden. Somewhere in the dilemma, Jesus is hidden. All I got to do is find him. All I got to do is knock and the door shall be open. All I got to do is ask and it shall be given. All I got to do is seek and ye shall find. He's hidden in the house. He's hidden in your problem. He's hidden in your storm. He's sitting in your crisis. He's hidden in your dilemma. I feel something pushing me in the back. I'm trying not to preach, but I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Something is about to happen in this place. He's hidden. He's hidden in your problem. He's hidden in your dilemma. He's hidden in your crisis. He's hidden in your circumstance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel a blessing about to hit this place. Stop somebody and tell him he's in there. You may have to find him, but he's in there. You may have to look for him, but he's in there. You may have to travel, but he's in there. You may have to walk alone, but he's in there. You may have to get down on the floor, but he's in there. Shout hallelujah. Look at Jesus' unassuming manner. He is hidden in the house. Remember that Jesus is the one who healed masses of people and told them, don't tell anybody. Look at the attitude of Jesus compared to the attitude of Christians. We want to tell everybody. Jesus did more and asked less. Don't even tell anybody that I healed you. Jesus is hidden in the house. And the Bible says that in spite of the fact that he wanted to be hidden in the house, that the glory that was on Jesus was so strong, it could not be hidden. Which brings me to this conclusion. that real glory cannot be hidden. When you're the real deal, you don't have to tell me you're the real deal. When you got the real stuff, you don't have to say I got the real stuff, because real glory cannot be hidden. Stop telling me who's fighting your ministry. Stop telling me who's got their foot on you. If I can put my foot on you, God didn't send you. Because if God sent you, he'll break my foot. He'll make me move. Real glory cannot be hidden. I want somebody that's got some real glory to give him about 10 seconds of a crazy praise. And say, I can't keep it a secret. 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 Torrey, in the old church, we used to have testimony service, and I'd get up to testify, and when I come to myself, I'd be standing in the middle of the aisle preaching. I was so embarrassed, I'd run back to my seat. I didn't want nobody to think that I was a preacher, but real glory cannot be hidden. It'll come out in your speech. It'll come out in the shower. It'll come out while they're doing your hair. If God has anointed you, you can't hold your peace. If God has sent you, you cannot be stopped. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but God is about to loose somebody. God is about to break the chain. God is about to open the door. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. I can't hide it. 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 Look at your neighbor and say, I can't hide it. It's like fire shut up in my bones. It's like fire shut up in my bones. Holy Ghost fire. Go just a little bit deeper. Sit down for a minute. I'm going a little bit deeper. You've got a hiding Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I can't find him. You've got a hiding Jesus and a desperate woman. And when you bring those two things together, there's going to be a cataclysmic explosion. There's going to be a combustible reality. There's going to be an ignition when you got a desperate woman and a hiding Jesus. Before the story is over, a yoke will be broken. A bondage will be destroyed. See, God isn't going to move till you're desperate. Long as you're more concerned about what you got on than getting a breakthrough, you're not going to get a touch from God. But if I had 100 desperate people in this room, a yoke would break in this place. Let me hear from some desperate people. Touch your neighbor and tell him, excuse me, but I'm desperate. I don't have time to worry about what you think. I don't have time to worry about what you got on. I don't have time to worry about whether you like me or not. I got a devil to fight. I got a devil after my mind. I got a devil after my peace. I'm desperate. I need a touch from the Lord. I don't need it next Thursday. I don't need it next Sunday. I need a breakthrough right now. Are there any desperate people? I'm desperate for Jesus. I'm desperate for Jesus. I need a breakthrough. I came in late, but I'm desperate for Jesus. I spent all my gas money, but I'm desperate for Jesus. I came where I've never been before, but I'm desperate for Jesus. Somebody give him 30 seconds of praise. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. I'm desperate. Don't roll your eyes at me. I'm desperate. I came here to get a miracle. I came here to get a touch. I'm desperate. I got a devil to fight, and I'm desperate. If I don't fight this devil, he'll get my child. He'll get my son. He'll get my daughter. I need some radical parents. I need some radical young people. Somebody get crazy in here. If I gotta come to church by myself, I'm desperate. If I gotta sit on the back row, I'm desperate. If I have to crawl down the aisle.
We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need a touch from you. We need a word from you.
This is not for the dignified. This is not for the distinguished. This is not for the intellectual. This is a word for desperate people. Are there any desperate people in this house today? Identify yourself. Come out, come out, wherever you are.
It's me, Allah. It's me. Standing in the need of prayer.
I'm desperate. I won't let it go till he bless my soul. I'm desperate. I won't let him go till he bless my soul.
I need you.
I know you're busy, but I need you. I know I'm not on your itinerary, but I need you. I know I'm not on your program, but I need you. Is there anybody here? If I got to crawl,
I'm coming for
if
you.
If I have to crawl,
I'm coming for you, Lord.
If I have to crawl,
I'm coming to you, Lord.
If I have to crawl,
I'm crawling to you, Lord.
I got a heaven.
Oh,
I got a heaven. I got a devil in my house. I got a devil in my head. I got a devil in my mind. I gotta have him. I gotta have him. Is he in here? Knock, knock. Open up the door. I'm looking for Jesus. Is he in this house? Is he in that house? is in this house. I'm looking for Jesus. Whatever it takes, I'm looking for Jesus. I need a touch from the Lord. If I don't get a touch from the Lord, I don't care whose house he's in. I don't care what neighborhood he's in. Wherever I gotta go, I'm willing to go to get a touch from the Lord. If I gotta go by myself, I'll go by myself. I'm desperate. Where are my desperate people? I'm tired of church members. I need some radical, relentless, tenacious, desperate people. Open your mouth and holler if you're desperate. The Holy Ghost is in this place right now, but he's not for everybody. He's passing over people that are indifferent. He's passing over people that are satisfied. He's passing over people that are comatose. He's looking for desperate people. Hallelujah. Desperate folks, this is your Sunday. People at your wits' end, this is your Sunday. People who have tried everything and everything's failed, this Sunday is for you. People who don't have anything else to give, people who don't have anything else to say, this is your Sunday. This is your moment. This is your time. This is your second. I feel a breakthrough about to happen in your life. Who am I preaching to? Who am I preaching to? I feel. Jesus did not come to the woman. The woman came to him. There's a group of folks in the church today who are sitting back saying, if God meant for me to have it, he'll give it to me. You're wrong. If you don't come for it, you won't get it. If you don't knock, the door won't open. If you don't ask, you won't get the answer. If you don't seek him, you won't find him. Look at somebody and tell them it's up to you. I'm going to pray. For those of you that are online, for those of you that are watching on the internet, they got a devil to fight. It's one thing to have a devil at the office, because I get off at 5 o'clock. I can leave you here till the next day. It's one thing to have a devil at church. I only come twice a week. Give me 5 days, I ain't got to be bothered with you. But when I got a devil in my house, that means every night and day, every time I get up and every time I lay down, I got to deal with that same old devil. It is not a person you fight. There's nothing wrong with the person. You got a devil to fight.
My Lord, my Lord.
Some of you have generational devils to fight. Some of you are fighting a devil in your own head. It ain't even about another person. It's the devil in your own head that makes you sabotage every good thing that God wants to give you. You keep fooling with it till you tear it up, and then you cry because it's gone. Hey! You got a devil to fight.